Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 12 of season 6. If you've just joined, I'm Robin of Out of Tired Witch Everywhere, and I'm joined by the lovely, the goddess, the profound, the excellent, the insightful Maria of Magic with Maria Everywhere.
Yes, the profound. A lot of people say this about me.
Like, literally, listen, the results are in, babe. The people are saying, they're all talking about it, and I'm not afraid to say it, you know?
Yeah. Well, somebody had to be. Thank you, queen.
Someone had to be brave. You're welcome.
So, we did want to mention our class that we have this month. We didn't have one last month because we were in Chicago, but we will have one.
But as a reminder, we put up 100 pages of zines on Patreon. In lieu of a class.
Yeah. We
so
put up
you
both
can
of our
read
zines.
Those if you want.
Yeah. And they're gorgeous. Like, yes. You should look at them. You should utilize
digital
them.
Versions.
Yeah. But this class is going to be on July 25th at 8 p.m. EST. And it's going to be with Julia. I promise I'm going to pronounce this correctly. Halina Hadass. Hey, I said it correctly. Yeah.
I'm proud of you. Sorry, I didn't mean to speak over you.
Oh, you're fine, queen.
Leave it as a bad review, guys.
This is going to be on witchcraft cocktails. So actually, when we were in Chicago, it was so funny because we didn't realize she was there too, and we had already booked the class with
her. She assumed that I asked her to do the class because of the fact that she was in Chicago, and I was like, didn't even know you were here, babe. Just thought it was a fun idea.
So I got to sample some of her like cocktails that she had at the, like, because they had like her cocktails at like the bar late at night, and they were really tasty. So you guys should come, and you can always do a non-alcoholic version. You don't have to, you know, dabble in the devil sauce, but yeah,
couldn't be me. I'm a Christian, so
speaking of like food and drinks, we did want to send a big thank you to everyone who had donated for our trip to Chicago. You kept us caffeinated, you kept us fed, and we appreciate you, John, Tom, and Ruscio. We appreciate you. We love you so much. Thank you. Thank you. And thank you to all of our patrons, because without you guys, we wouldn't even been able to go to Chicago. The podcast would not exist.
Honestly, like, I know we do this a lot, but our Patreon members matter so much to us, like, on a personal but also like podcasting level. You guys are so important to us. We literally just cannot acknowledge enough how none of this, the fact that we're on season 6, the fact that we have long-term goals for the podcast, none of that would be possible without all of you. Whether you are a $1 or a $100 patron member, genuinely from the bottom of our hearts, thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you, guys. We love you.
It's just, yeah. As a reminder, on our Coffee Talk episodes, we do take voicemails. They are 3-minute long caps. If your story is longer than that, just call back. We'll smash them together. The number for that is 351-207-0799. And we thought this week we could do like a little sample of what that sounds like if you're not like an avid Coffee Talk listener. So I'm going to play one now just to kind of give you guys an idea of what that's like.
Hi, this is Erin.
And this is Justin.
And we are just calling because we've had a very dog shit year, to put it lightly. And we wanted to actually share the good news that we are finally expecting a tiny shrimp. And they will be arriving in January. So we can finally all relax. I can stop lighting random candles around the house, at least a little bit. And finally shared some good news. We love you guys. Thank you for always loving us. I'm going to cry because of a pussy right now. But that's it. Okay, bye.
Oh my god, now I'm gonna cry.
I'm gonna cry.
Oh my god. That was so sweet. Congratulations, Aaron and Justin. We are so excited for you, and we are so excited that this is how everybody gets to find out. Yeah. So if you are a Discord member and you're like, hang on a second, do you mean Aaron from Discord? The answer is yes, babes. Yeah. So excited. So, you know, you guys can call us and let us know about your expecting baby as well. Or, you know, share ghost stories, witch tips, or topics that you think the community would love to hear.
We like those too.
Just little light things like that. So if you've just joined us this week, every week we talk about upcoming lunar phases and how you can utilize those in your magical practice. Now, I did mention this our last main episode that we are going to have some overlap. And so instead of talking about an upcoming lunar phase, Maria and I are going to talk about what the dark moon is and why it's important for your practice. In astrology, astronomy. The new moon is when the moon is at 1%, when it's at 0%. That is the new moon in astronomy. In witchcraft, welcome to the redundancy, capital of redundancy. There is several schools of thought. But it is agreeable, at least with Maria and I, that the new moon starts when it's at 1% growing. So it goes 1% shrinking, 0, 1% growing. That's the difference between waxing and waning. And so the dark moon is when we are at that sub 1% before we hit 0%. And then 0%. It's when the moon has no light whatsoever, and it happens right before the magical new moon. Okay. So if you are looking up when the new moon is, it's going to actually, like, if you're looking up and you get an astronomy website, that is actually the dark moon.
See a bunch of witches also call the dark moon
right,
the new
moon
too.
This is what Maria and I believe. What Maria and I believe. We are not saying that the other people are wrong. This is something Maria and I both agree on for our practices, that this is how the dark moon works. And so the dark moon is, in my opinion, a really good time for banishment spells as well as baneful magic. It is very similar to the new moon, but instead of new beginnings, it's like aggressive endings. It is the fall before the rise. And so utilizing the dark moon is, in my opinion, very powerful for any time that you need to cut things off in a very aggressive and severed way. And perhaps that cutting off is in the form of baneful magic. Sometimes it's also putting people in the freezer. Sometimes it is cord cutting spells. This has like several layers to it, right? But it is the sister to the new moon in that they are different. What do you think?
Yeah. So, the dark moon is very important in my practice because I work with Hecate, and Hecate, that is her time. That is when I honor her once a month. Obviously I honor her all the time, but like specifically that's when I do offerings. That's when I really try to connect with her. And I really view the dark moon as a liminal time because the moon is neither here or there. You know, it's not waning, it's not waxing, it's not full. It's like, you know, it's in that in-between moment of like it becoming new again and losing again.
Yeah.
And for me, it's the perfect time for spirit work and lot of like reflection. I do a lot of journaling during the dark moon about like the, you know, what went wrong or what went right, the previous moon cycle. And I really feel like this time is filled with knowledge, because when we see the dark moon in the sky, we're actually seeing the moon's like true face without the sun's help. You know what I mean?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Like, and that is why like it is a period of reflection and seeing yourself just as you are. And
that's very profound, actually.
Thank you.
Look at you.
And I do agree with Robin. Absolutely. It is also a time of being like, okay, utilizing whatever sign. I like to utilize whatever like sign that dark moon is in. Let's say the dark moon is in Cancer. I would be like, okay, where am I probably staying in my comfort zone too much? Where do I need to kind of like break free? And like, let's say the dark moon is in Virgo. Maybe like I'm over planning things. So I'll kind of like do spell work around that to kind of like focus my efforts like on a singular plan rather than, you know, being scattered brained. It's just, yeah, just utilizing it in a way that helps you, you know, kind of like throw what is not working out into the abyss.
Yeah. It's like I said, for me, it's very much that sister of the new moon. And I think that that's nice. It's like the new moon's like not evil twin, but like, it's the dark side of the moon. really deep stuff. But I do think it's like, it's the opposite. It's the, I don't know, you know that meme where it's like two best friends and like one of them is like bubblegum pink and like so cute and fun and the other one's like the scary dog. That's what they are.
Yeah. So Need and Wednesday.
Yeah. Yes. Exactly.
So every single podcast episode that is a full episode, we go over like tarot. We talk like previous seasons. We've gone over like individual meanings of cards. Like we specifically chose cards to read about. And then we went over like the whole sections in tarot. Like we talked about the major arcana, the minor arcana, the aces, the kings, the queens, and all about what that means. As a whole. And then we went over last season, like the themes that we see in tarot, like love, friendship, and what cards we felt represent those themes. This season, we're kind of like going back to our roots a little bit, but we're like pulling a random card for the collective. Sometimes Robin pulls the card. Sometimes I pull the card. And this week is Robin's turn. So Robin. Oh, also a reminder, guys, remember this is for the collective. It doesn't always mean you. It just means the, you know, for most people.
If it resonates, take it. If it doesn't resonate, it wasn't for you, baby duck. Now, that being said, what have I pulled? I pulled the Six of Pentacles. That feels really relevant. I can speak. It feels very relevant to what we just said is about like the collective. The Six of Pentacles is all about helping. This can be both you being the person giving the help and you being the person receiving the help. It's all based on kind of where you are in life. So there are two things that are happening here. If you are somebody who needs help, this is a humility card for you. It's time to be willing to accept the help when it's offered to you by those in your circle. Simultaneously, if you need help, it is time for you to also know when to ask for it. This is a very prideful card to me. And it tells me essentially that if you're in a position where you're struggling, don't be too proud to accept help when you need it. And don't be too proud to ask for help when you need it. And do so in a way that, you know, is giving yourself the space to deal with those feelings and also doing so in a way that is sincere and open. If you are not in a position where you need help, then it's time to start looking to your community, whether those are your friends, your family, or your local community, and how they might need, like, use your help and how you can contribute it to your community. So it is very much a card of circumstances that surround your specific situation. So if this were in a one-on-one reading, you know, we would have to look to the other cards. We would have to look to the client, et cetera, or yourself for which end of that spectrum we're on. But as a collective reading, take a moment to reflect on, do I need help right now and I need to ask for it or accept it? Or am I in a really good space? How can I help my community? And what does that look like? So it's all very dependent on you, but either learn to love yourself enough to accept help when you need it, or learn to love your people around you enough to give it when they need it. So that's all up to you. Yeah. What do you think, Maria?
Yeah. So, like, all the threes and the sixes to me are community-based cards.
Very much.
And I always like... view the Six of Cups in this card very similarly. One is like the cups is about unconditional giving and like giving from the heart. You expect nothing in return. But there is still like this exchange of like heartfelt gifts for each other. But when it comes to the Six of Pentacles, it shows that there is like something on the line for both parties. Like someone is giving something and they do expect something in return. Maybe it's your time and energy. Maybe it's your money. But as I said, this is a community-based card. And it's so important that when you are struggling to seek out community, even if you do unfortunately have to pay for it or give something in return. You know, the card before this is the Five of Pentacles, which literally means loss and feeling loss and not feeling like, you know, just like struggling to find the help that you need or even avoiding the help that you need because you're like, you know, I really feel like capitalism has taught us that we should only be counting on ourselves. And that is very harmful.
Yes.
We should be counting on community, even if there is an exchange involved. And obviously, with that in mind, capitalism, like this card can be very heavy in capitalism. So make sure you're giving your money to the right people who actually do want to help you, that aren't like
billionaires don't give a fuck about you.
Who want you, like nobody they can see are it asking too much.
Nobody can see it because we're not doing video this episode. But I just like I was doing a threatening fist pump when I said it.
It's true, though. And just be careful of the people who ask too much of you. There is a scale like on this card, like about balancing scales. So make sure that, you know, the price is right. And do not
the price like, is right. Yeah.
Set like just give too much of yourself or, you know, be in debt to someone in an extreme way.
Yeah.
Be very, very smart about it. But yeah. Those are my thoughts.
I love your thoughts. What a beautiful brain you have, Em.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, I'm profound.
many are saying this.
I know.
So to get us into the main segment of this episode, Maria and I had like a silly little, we had a silly little thought. We're just girls. And we
They're
were like,
girls.
We've never talked about the elements. We have sort of when we've talked about tarot, but we've never talked about elementals when it comes to witchcraft specifically. And so we were like, let's do a mini series. It's time for a Coffee and Cauldrons mini series. We haven't done that. We haven't done a mini series in a minute, actually. So this is pretty exciting. And to start it off, we're going to talk about water.
So exciting.
Which feels so good because it is Cancer season. The most, the most best water.
The most best water.
The most best water. many are saying this, actually. I think you'll find.
Cancer is that like 10, you know, that $10 bottle of water
we're literally
sitting at
the
Whole
cardinal
Foods.
One. So we're the most best. We're the most best.
Yes.
Sorry. Sorry for the other water signs. You're just not the most best like me. English is really easy to say and do.
Yes. Yes, it is. But yeah, let's go over. So what do you think water corresponds to? What does it correspond to for you?
Before we get into water specifically, I do think it's important. I meant to actually put this on our docket. Sorry. I do think it's important to explain before we start each thing, just a little bit about what elementals are. I think that's do you think that's important to say? Do you think it's important to tell them?
I think that is important, actually. Yeah, I do, actually.
So the elements, water, earth, air, fire, and in witchcraft, spirit, is the five corners of the pentacle. The water, earth, air, fire are the four watchtowers. It represents everything in terms of like the world in which we reside. Somebody who is you know, occultists will be listening to this and will go, well, actually, Robin, it's more nuanced than that. And you're right. It is. I'm talking about this in a literal 2-minute little segment. So cry about it. I don't know.
We're not occult bros.
Yeah. But write about it. I do want to say, I don't know what to tell you. Some of
us do add above and below to ours.
Yes. Above and below.
To the watch.
I do add love to mine as an element. I'm a very big believer in that. Which falls under spirit, but I do add love into
I do
mine.
Center too, and I go of self and of spirit.
Oh, I love that.
After, above, and below. Yeah.
So when we are talking about elements, and we will do an episode on probably spirit as well and cover things like above and below, because spirit does deal with the divine.
Okay,
and
that's fun.
Everything. So we will get into that in another episode. But the idea of elements, if you are working with them, is utilizing all powers that be, both physical and spiritual, etc., as a part of your practice. Not everybody works with all the elements. That's a-okay. Mm-hmm. But just putting that all.
The elements are literally like what makes the earth the earth. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We are in very nature-centric,
magnets.
You know,
how do they
spirituality
work?
And spiritualities. And like, you know, it's just a way to honor the place that we are at and to incorporate their energies into our spell work.
Yes. Yes. So getting into that, what does water correspond to?
Okay, obviously it corresponds to three astrology symbols.
The most best,
including
one,
Cancer,
and then
the best
others.
Water. Then we have Scorpio and Pisces. And I do see Aquarius to me is like one of those liminal signs, like Scorpio is, because Scorpio to me is water and fire. And for the other sign, it's like water and air. So, you know, like I do like to incorporate that one as well. Mm-hmm. And water also corresponds to the West. So when you are calling for the West, you're also calling for water. Mm-hmm. Here, I'll let you add a couple so I'm not like hogging.
That's fine. You can hog because I respect you enough to not allow this to get me down. You know what I mean?
Oh, okay, Queen.
Water is all about, for me, is about intuition and communication and like, trying to think about how to like phrase this, making things move in a literal sense, but also in a like metaphor for moving it away from you. Water is all about flow, obviously, and flow looks like communication. It looks like protection magic. It looks like spirit work. It looks like intuition. It looks like everything.
And also emotions. we literally cry water because of the emotions.
Yeah.
And, you know, the water and, you know, water is is influenced by the moon and everything, and it makes us feel things. Mm-hmm. And then also there's, as you said, spirit work. Like, water is literally a very liminal sign. It's kind of like a mirror. It is the, like, a representation of a mirror, and like viewing things from like one side of, you know, of one thing and trying to work with the other side of the other thing. So a lot of spirit work, like, yes, scrying and things like that.
You're talking about water in terms of cardinal directions. So we are going to cover this for each one. But if you utilize the watchtowers in witchcraft, which can be used for a lot of things. So if you're doing circle calling and you call the watchtowers, if you are putting up wards in your home that follow the watchtowers, water is connected with the West. And so, you know, if you're putting up watchtower guards in your home, you would do something that is water based on the west side. If you are calling the watchtowers, you would call for water when facing the west physically. They can be represented on your altar as like a goal or intention, or in a literal representation if you are utilizing, again, the watchtowers on your altar or your elements on your altar, by, you know, putting a cup of water there, putting that, you know, things that represent water. I don't know.
Yeah. And I really like when we talk about water, like, I feel like water and earth, unfortunately, like, I feel like they're the most important of the elements. We are literally made of mostly water, and we have came from the water, you know.
We've, like, come from the ocean, water, is and the ancient. Water we shall return.
It's true.
Sorry, I'm like, and literally so rude. That's somebody why, should cancel, like, her.
A lot of us are drawn to bodies of water because I really do feel like we're naturally drawn to it because of, like, our water within us and where we have come from. The water is literally was once our home.
To quote myself in my own book, Magical Tarot by Robin Valentine.
Oh my God.
I do talk about the elements in kind of how they mean. And I give each element a relationship to self. And water is, I feel, because we feel with water, it's fluid, it's transformative, it takes so many forms. You've got ice, you have vapor, you have liquid, like, you have all these things that water can be. And so it is a reflection of the self, of how we feel. You can feel many things at once, and all of those feelings are valid, and yet all of them are within you.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Water can also be, you know, a gentle trickle in a stream, or a drip of a leaky faucet. And it can also be a flash flood. It can be the raging waters of, you know, those rivers when people go, like, whitewater rafting. Water affects our planet on, like, with the moon, because the water is also very connected to the moon, and the rise and the like fall of tides and the ocean. It makes up the majority of the planet and our body, and it is adaptive, and it is flowing, and it is purifying. It's all these wonderful things. Just like we are.
And what you said also about the moon, that's why I feel like it's so important to moon bathe, especially during the full moon, since we are made of mostly water. Because I feel like, well, a lot of people are like, oh, we're influenced by the moon. You know, like, with nurses and stuff like that, like, they can tell you all sorts of, like, crazy stories about what happens on the full moon. But I really feel like we become unregulated in some ways if we aren't outside sometimes during the full moon. Obviously, it's not going to happen every single time, and this is a little bit of woo-woo, but I do feel like it is just as it is important to go out in the sun and get some vitamin D occasionally. Yes, wear your sunscreen. But I do feel like it's also important to also be out in the moon.
Let's cancel her.
Yikes. In the year of 2025, you're going to tell us to not wear sunscreen? Oh my gosh. I'm just kidding.
No, we paint that stuff on.
We lather it, yeah. Baby.
Paint it on. Yeah, we do.
So if water was going to be a representation on your altar, aside from obvious things, what would you point to for someone?
What do you mean?
Like if you were putting down elemental signifiers, like how I talked about having like the cardinal directions and you were going to put a signifier for each element, what would be some things mm-hmm. you would recommend aside from literal water for people?
For it?
Yeah.
I have in the past done the symbol for water. Mm-hmm. And I've also used like crystals like aquamarine. Mm-hmm. I have used shells.
Seashells, yeah.
I'm trying to think. Yeah. And like... teas,
yeah,
water, you know, like
wow, another water. This is crazy. She's really unoriginal, guys. Let's
made of the water. It's fine. And also, we can use like blue candles. I know that's yes. like flame, but well, we can still can utilize your elements. Though,
I think that's an important thing.
People, it's true.
They get way too caught up in having their little one for each thing. When it's like incense is air and it's fire. Yeah.
Freaking candles are everything.
Yeah.
Like it's made of earth. It's made of fire. Well, it can become fire. And it's made of air. Like candles can have everything. Like if you think about it, as long as the candle is blue.
Yeah. I would say chalices, cauldrons, mm-hmm. scrying bowls, yes. going back to that intuition, and scrying mirrors, mm-hmm. Driftwood, mirrors in general. Mm-hmm. All of these things mm-hmm. can be
related to water.
Yeah. You can also, like, if you're somebody who's really into statues, you can use nymphs, mermaids, hippocamps.
Or even if you work with water deities like Poseidon.
Yeah.
And there's even some mythology behind Hecate also being from the water as well.
It always comes back to Hecate with this lady. Are you kidding?
Sorry, I love her.
We can't escape.
She's my main.
I'm just kidding.
No, we can't. But so, do you use water?
Yeah, a lot
inside your practice.
Yeah, a lot.
Like gathering it, like different types of water. Okay. You name some of the waters that you gather and I'll name some of mine.
I used to collect a summer thunderstorm water because thunderstorm water comes out of fucking nowhere. At least it feels that way for me. I'm sure like people who work in like meteorology or whatever the heck it's called, they're like, no, the weather can be predicted. Well, I don't watch the news on the weather station, okay? So I've got no idea when a thunderstorm is coming or not. I'm just teasing. But because they are so sudden and they are so out of place in summertime, or at least it feels mm-hmm. out of place, especially in California, collecting that for me is I save it to use for spell work that I need sudden change on. So like, let's say hypothetically I were to get into a car accident. Obviously, mm-hmm. knock on wood, don't want that for myself. But hypothetically, I were to get into a car accident and I need like money quick, or I need like, I don't know who hit my car. I need to find out who that is for my insurance. And it's like, it happened quickly and I need it resolved quickly. I would utilize that thunderstorm water for that. I also utilize streams for like discarding ash into for spell work that I need to be carried away from me. Obviously, there's a lot of nuance to that. Don't litter in streams. Don't put a lot of stuff in streams.
Guys.
I'm talking about like a very small, like representative amount of ash that I like know is not going to harm the environment. So I utilize it for those sort of things. What about you?
Yeah. I use water a lot in my practice for like I gather dark moon water, I have gathered waxing moon water and waning moon water, just like incorporating their particular energies. And I just feel like it's great to have on hand for if you're doing spell jars, because rather than filling the spell jar up with oils, like corresponding oils, you can just add the moon water. Like if you are banishing something using a spell jar, you just add dark moon water. If you are making something come to fulfillment, you can add full moon water. And which I know, you know, all witches out there are gathering like full moon water. Keep doing it, obviously. But there's also other, you know, utilize the other moon phases. It doesn't just have to be like full moon water. But since I live in the South, we do get hurricanes here, and I love gathering like hurricane water. And hurricane water is great for like baneful magic. It's great for like very thorough cleansing. If you need something banished, hurricane water is the way to do that. And I also like to add, like, I forgot who said it, like one of the witch books from, you know, long time ago, to gather the first rain of spring is like very cleansing. And I love that very much.
Also, and you can make actually like less waters too, like war water and like holy water, and you can make your own blessed waters, which I think are very, I think holy water is so underrated in witchcraft.
Yeah. I don't personally use it myself, but I do have it. So like, but here we are. I do put like a water on my altar, and I like, I would ask whatever deity I'm working with to bless
it. Well, the thing is, too, is that I'm a big believer, not to get on the soapbox, but we all love to see me do that. So it's fine. Holy water, I don't think has a one-to-one replacement, even though blessed water has its, like, is a very valid, like, usefulness. But if holy water is taking Christian, Catholic, whatever, the belief that the priest is a direct connection with that, like with God, with a God, that religion's God, etc. That is being blessed. So it's the God itself is blessing it. And so I do believe that you can do a replacement for it, but I also believe that you need like a air quote here, accredited priest or priestess of that temple for that deity for a one-to-one replacement, which is really hard to find.
Yeah, I haven't had really any issues like asking, but I don't do it often either, because I have like hurricane water and like, you know, things like that. Like there's other, you know, things that I could utilize. But what else was I going to say? I also like gathering ocean water whenever when I go to the ocean, just because it's really good at cleansing because it has the salt and stuff in it. And but I do, you do like, do not take a lot, you know, obviously just take what you need, and you don't need to put a lot in spells. Like you don't need to dump the entire thing in for one spell. Just do a couple drops. Keep it in the fridge. Don't just like let it sit on your out on your counter either. Like
also kind of going off the salt water thing, the ocean water thing. That is a really good example of two elements being in one, because salt is also of the earth.
Yes.
And so that's another really great example that things can be multifaceted.
Yeah, absolutely. And I do think they touched on this a little bit during the potions episode, which potions deal with water too, guys. But that gathering like water off of plants that are considered baneful to utilize in a spell, like, you know, doing off of mandrake or anything like that, like plants you don't want to ingest or put on put on you, like, but not like poison ivy because you don't want the oils getting into it, but like that way of gathering something without, like, also if you don't want to take from a plant, let's say that you know that there's like red clover out in nature but there's only like three of them and you want to leave them for like the wildlife because, you know, a bunch of like animals eat red clover, you would go over there and after, you know, it's rained, like just put a little bit into a tiny spell jar, like the water that's still resting on it, and take it that way. And then just like label it red clover water. But I know not everyone will agree with me on that, but I actually got that from a witchy book, like a fictional book, but the author is a witch herself. So
I love it when there's a sort of overlaps.
Being smart. That is smart.
Fish and so ladies I like on dishwashing, I think.
It was in Salt and Broom, which is a very good book. You guys should read it.
So Cotton, although this is obviously not, what's the word I'm looking for here? Although this is obviously not like fictional, it did remind me, like you talking about that reminded me of Dew Collection and utilizing Dew Collection, which I actually learned about in one of our classes on Patreon. We had a class hosted by Lilith Dorsey, which she talks about collecting dew water from like early in the morning. And that's like such an arduous process, but how clever is that?
That's so clever. Lilith is an amazing author and teacher.
She is amazing. Even though we're going to be going over all the elementals and we don't have a class on all the elementals, we do have this resource available for anyone to watch. You can buy the class individually, or you can just join the library tier and watch Lil's class on water magic. There's a whole hour she talks about it. It's incredible.
Yeah.
Yep.
Agree.
Yeah, so come and join us.
Come join us.
So, Maria, what's stirring your cauldron right now?
Oh, I'm going to tell you. Okay. So, I've been out hiking again.
Oh, yes, queen.
Oh, it's been so nice. It's been really nice, actually. And I'm hoping it has rained here like every single day this week so far. And it's, don't get me wrong, I love rainy days, but not when I have plants. but I really want to do it again this weekend. But we went to one of the hikes that we do fairly regularly because it's close to the house. It's really like out of all the places that is drivable near us, like this one, it's special in some aspects. Like there is a waterfall, couple waterfalls, but they're very, very small. And there's not really much, well, what we thought wasn't really much like walking to see anything else. Like it was just the waterfalls were all in one spot. And once you're there, you're like, okay, cool. Cool. Okay, let's go ahead and head back.
Cool.
But no, so what happened was, there's these rocks that you could tell when they were under the ocean, going back to our main topic, because it's all fossilized coral and stuff. You can see it on the rocks. Like, it's so beautiful. And I was like, oh, let's go find those rocks. And as Scarlett says, I do have a good sense of direction when, like, we're in cities or if we're on the road. But when it comes to nature, I will get lost. And so I was like, no. I'm pretty sure they're over that way. So we just started going down some random trail. And then we're like, oh, this is not the way. Like, we're going this completely wrong, like, longabout way to get there. And we stumbled across, like, this beautiful, like, scenic, gorgeous area. And you can tell, like, people don't regularly come to this area just because of the overgrowth and it was a Saturday. Like, no one was over there. Everyone was near the waterfall. And it was just so beautiful. So what's driving my culture is, like, finding those little hidden spots
little
in nature.
Gems.
Yeah. It's so quiet. And you can just hear all the animals. And it's just like, oh, so gorgeous. And I want to go back. I'm going to go back. And that's why, like, guys, when I post, like, photos or videos of any place that I visit out in nature, I will never tell you where that, just because not before just my thing. I view, like, too many people right now are unfortunately going into certain parts of nature, and it's actually hurting, like, ecosystems and stuff like that. Like, people going to national parks at such a mass level, like, now we're having to, like, schedule people in. So I try to be careful,
which is a great thing that people are excited to be in 100%. Nature, but it's a little crazy. And also, just like, I know this probably goes without saying, but leave every piece of nature that you found better than you found it. Don't leave trash. If you see trash, please pick it up. Don't pick flowers unnecessarily. Just leave it better than you found it.
Yep.
What is not stirring your cauldron this week? You will not make me break character. Stop giggling.
So I'm currently living through one of the plagues, the locust plague. There are many.
Robin's got the locusts.
There are so many little teeny weeny grasshoppers that it is actually insane. Like at my house, we have our garden in the front yard, like our vegetable garden. And you got to walk through this like little like meadow sort of to get to it. And every time I walk out there, it's just like grasshoppers are flying everywhere. If I drive a one specific direction, because like where we're at, you can go to one town to the left and the other town to the right, like right from our house, because we're pretty much smack dab in the middle of both. And if you go to the left, it's like so many grasshoppers that I just like, you hear them just going tunk, tunk, tunk on the car. And I'm like, I'm a mixture of sad about it and terrified. I'm like, ha, there's so many bugs.
Imagine having a Jeep and they're just like pelting you.
Oh, God. I saw something the other day driving in a convertible, and I literally in my brain thought, well, that's a choice.
They open up the doors and it's just a bunch of grasshoppers. It's like a
bug rolling out. So gross.
Oh my gosh.
Could you imagine those things hitting you in the face at 60 miles an hour?
No. See, I love grasshoppers, like how they look and everything, but when they're on you,
they're really cute too.
They feel so weird. Oh, like it feels like spiders on you, basically, because of their thin legs. Like,
so if you just joined us this week, every week we talk about creatives that we are loving right now. This could be shops, social medias, books, other podcasts, artists, just anything that we're loving right now. As a reminder, these are not ads. These are just things that we have organically found on our own that we think, hey, you might like this. So that being said, Maria, who are you into right now?
So I've actually mentioned this creator before, but just for their art. And it's art of Stephanie Marie. Okay. Mm-hmm. She has started making dolls of her like paintings that she does. And they are so, so cute and so beautiful. Like, I want one. I would like one to go sit on my like reading chair when I'm not reading. They look exactly like her illustrations, which I don't even know. People are so talented. Like, gosh. Blows me away. Like, they're just so stunning. But yeah. How about for you?
This is a yarn creator, a fiber artist. I know. But and everyone's gonna go, Robin, oh my God, all you talk about is yarn and mugs. Well, get over it. But this particular artist has made two tote bags that are Cupid doll patterns. Uh-huh. One of which is like a Cupid doll on its tummy. And the other one is like an anatomy one where it's like half the face is gone and you can see the skull and then you can see the organs. I'm so flippin' obsessed with it. I want to make them for myself, but I am not that good at color working with crochet and it's crochet stuff. But yeah, I'm totally obsessed.
I was like, yarn and Cupies. Who knew?
Who could have seen that coming? Not one person, I'll tell you that. Our listener submission this week.
Can I say something?
Yeah.
This was my other person I was going to choose.
Really?
I'm not even kidding. Yeah.
That's so crazy.
Yeah.
Well, they are called Merge Works. It will be spelled out for you in the caption, as always. But they're a Bessem creator. And these are friggin' cool.
Like, they are just friggin' cool.
Like, first of all, the Bessem ends having images on them is just wow. And then they've got rainbow ones and just, I mean, I've seen a lot of really cool handcrafted Bessems in my time. not to make myself sound ancient, but sometimes when the shoe fits. But these are incredible, like truly incredible. I'm very blown away by the artistry. Mm-hmm. Yeah, wow. You know? Yeah,
it's so beautiful. Gorgeous.
They're just,
I want one.
So beautiful.
I would like one, please. One of the Moon Phase ones. Yes, please.
Oh, sure. And I'm sure that's a very low price, in which case I will get one for you and right now.
We will definitely be, I'm sure they sell out within like, what, a minute? And so,
yeah,
ain't no way.
You and me who have like the worst luck when it comes to getting things that are on drops.
Yeah,
but no, sure, we'll get a Besom too. No problem.
Yeah, okay.
As a reminder, if you want to send us a creative that you are loving right now, shoot us a DM, shoot us an email. We want to see it, so get it to us.
Yes.
Hope that you guys had a great time today. We had a great time hanging out with you. Thanks. We hope to see you again on Friday, July 11th for our next Coffee Talk episode, or July 18th for the 13th episode of season 6. You can keep an eye out on our social media or head to our website, coffeeandcauldrons.com, to find out more information and see what we're up to. And don't forget to join us this month for our class with Julia Helena Hadass on witchcraft cocktails, which is going to be so fun. That is for the library tier and up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And additionally, our Patreon Magical Beginnings offers a special 25-minute part 2 episode, a huge library of articles about witchcraft, a Discord community full of fun events and discussions, and we even have tiers to offer one-on-one conversations with Robin and myself. And mm-hmm. if you just don't want to have a conversation about witchcraft, we can do a tarot reading for you. Like, you are not squared into just one thing.
Yes. Additionally, because I was thinking about this, because somebody did ask me, if you resonate with myself or Maria more than the other person in terms of mentorship, mm-hmm. you can get mentorship from one of us and a reading from the other. That is also available to you. Mm-hmm. So just let us know.
Yeah.
And please, if you are loving our sexy, sensual, chef's kiss voices, take a moment to review us from whatever streaming service that you are tuning in from, such as Apple Podcasts or Spotify or wherever else. We love reading your reviews and rating us with 5 stars, but rating us all at all helps us to be seen by others. Thank you to everyone who already has and everyone who will in the future. We appreciate you.
Yeah, we do. And again, this is Coffee and Cauldrons
with Robin from Out of Tired Witch Everywhere.
And I'm Maria from Magic with Maria
Everywhere. Are you ready?
Yeah.
One,
two,
three,
bye, witches.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.